Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
Just remember, you can actually just do things, and you can actually just start your practice.
Today's guest is Gregory Obert. This conversation explores the shift from relying on someone else's structure to designing your own, and what changes when you trade certainty for ownership. We unpack how fear around inconsistent income can evolve into autonomy, how narrowing your focus sharpens demand, and why confidence in your pricing grows from clarity, not bravado. We also examine the hidden gaps that stall progress, especially around visibility and referrals, and how real community shortens the learning curve. If you're feeling the tension between stability and direction, Gregory Obert helps illuminate a cleaner path forward. More signal, less noise, and momentum you can actually sustain. Now let's welcome Dr. Gregory T. Obert. Gregory is a clinical psychologist and founder and CEO of Royal Oasis Psychotherapy Institute, a premier telehealth practice delivering elite and discreet evidence-based psychotherapy. He brings over 15 years of experience helping thousands navigate anxiety, depression, trauma, and life transitions. He specializes in veterans' issues, PTSD treatment, and fostering resilience through personalized holistic care. Additionally, he's the author of The Man on the Bench, a novel about hope amid loss, and the host of the podcast Meditations by Gregory T. Obert, featuring guided meditations for wellness. Gregory, welcome to the show.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me, David.
Oh, real pleasure. Gregory, let's start off by talking a little bit about your career, and in particular, maybe highlighting some pivot points that led to transitions.
Absolutely. So the journey through mental health is quite a long one. I think people don't really understand all the hoops that you have to jump through in order to get the licensure that you need to do the work. So not only is it, of course, 4 years of undergrad, but then it's going through some sort of master's program in order to become a master's level clinician. And even once you get that degree, pass the licensure exam, in many states you need, it's usually about 2 years in order to get your independent practitioner's license. So there's two that you have to get. And my first real job outside of school was working in community mental health in Chicago. And let me tell you, there were some challenging days there.
I'll bet.
Dealing with a lot of severe mental health issues, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, PTSD. And the nature of the work also meant that I had to actually go to these people's homes, transport them in my car. So I sort of doubled as someone who got pretty good at avoiding bed bugs, avoiding mold. I mean, you really had to be careful with that stuff. But it was certainly a fast way to burn out. I felt kind of trapped in it as well, because as I mentioned, I needed those 2 years of extra supervision in order to get my independent practitioner's license. But I just reached that point where it's like, I can't keep doing this anymore. I was so burned out. I just hated going to work. So I ended up leaving the job. And I wasn't working in mental health for a few years after that, but I just kept thinking, this is my passion. I want to do this. There's got to be a better way. And even by going to various practices that were already established, trying to kind of get a job there, they just said, you know, you got great credentials, but you don't have that super duper independent practitioner's license. So sorry. And I got to the point where I just said, you know, if I can't get the job I want with the credentials I have, maybe I need to improve my credentials. So then I went back to school for another 6 years and I got my doctorate. And while I have been working for various organizations over the years, including the VA, which they like for me to say, all my opinions are my own and I don't represent the VA in any way. I've also worked with private practices on the side, and that's been rewarding to some degree, but it ultimately gets frustrating after a while. And part of the reason is because even though I have all the licenses that I need right now, there's always a split as an independent contractor, right? So they get to keep some percentage, I get to take home some percentage. And there inevitably comes a point in time where I say, why am I giving a percentage of my paycheck to this practice? Because there's usually some ball that gets dropped or some conflict that I have with somebody in charge. I like to think I'm pretty easy to work with, but there's usually some kind of conflict that comes up. And I just keep thinking, why do I need to give this money away? And so I decided there is a better way, in fact, and it didn't have to be going to get more credentials. In fact, it could just be starting my own business. And so that's what I did. And I've been very excited to see it develop. And I'm very excited to see where it goes next.
Yeah. Is starting your own business in your field considered a path that is less traveled by most professionals?
You know, it's kind of interesting because some people do think that private practice is a bunch of nonsense. I would say, well, I don't have any hard and fast stats on this, but I would say maybe a good third to 40% of practitioners that I've met in some sort of hospital system, or I guess you'd say more corporate setting, do have some kind of private practice on the side. But a lot of them tend to have it just as a side thing. So they might see 2, 3, 4 people a week just to sort of supplement their income. Unfortunately, though, I think that a lot of private practice practitioners sell themselves short because there is so much opportunity to not only make more money and reach more people, but also I think really kind of change the face of mental health. You know, there's still kind of that stigma around it. Oh, you got to be crazy to go in. Or what I see a lot online is if you go to therapy, you're going to have to stay there for the next 5 to 10 years. And while certainly some people need that, people can actually feel better in a shorter amount of time and they can do it at their own pace. They can do it in a setting that works for them. They don't have to go to a hospital. And I just think that there's such an opportunity there for private practices to actually capitalize on.
Yeah. So why do you think professionals looking at private practice as an option are not pursuing it and not seeing the opportunity as much as you might see it?
So I think there's two reasons. One is fear. And that fear comes from the idea that, as the phrase goes, you eat what you kill, right? So if I am working in a private practice and I'm not working, I'm not making money. So it's really nice to have that corporate gig where I can take time off, go on the vacation, and I'm still getting my paycheck, which is nice, but it's also kind of limiting and you don't get the control that you want over the healthcare that you provide. And that leads to the second reason, which is insurance. So unfortunately, most people don't really want to pay out of pocket, or maybe they don't understand they don't need to pay as much out of pocket because they just don't understand insurance all that well. And so when it comes to setting up a private practice, not only do you have to, if you choose to take insurance, not only do you have to go through that whole rigmarole and learn how to do billing or hire an outside company to do billing for you, but then you just have to accept the rates that they have. And so when it comes to certain types of treatments, you're not really able to give those treatments to clients because insurance isn't going to pay for them. As an example, I specialize in a variety of PTSD treatments, and there are some that are 60 minutes. There's one in particular that's 90 minutes. I think the one that's 90 minutes is really great, and I've seen so many people change their lives. Insurance is not going to pay for a 90-minute session. They're only going to pay for a 60-minute session. So if I'm somebody who really likes doing that 90-minute treatment, I'm probably not going to want to go into private practice and deal with all the headache of, you know, really working more and not getting reimbursed what I'm worth. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm seeing a lot of parallels with, you know, professionals in other fields that spend the first part of their career in corporate, mm-hmm. and then they decide they don't want to deal with what's giving them corporate headaches. They go out on their own and they start their own, whether they want to call it a practice or consultancy. Some do primarily coaching work in their field. But, you know, essentially they're starting their own business and they're dealing with some of the same issues, which is, yes, I've given up the bad part of the structure that I don't want to deal with that I had in corporate, but I'm also giving up the steady income that comes with a paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not have the same kind of insurance issues that you have to deal with in the healthcare sector, but they have other kinds of business development issues. They can, you know, there are ways you could get fed business more easily if you're willing to give up a share of the revenue. Mm-hmm. Some people like doing that. Some people don't like it as much, but then you need to have your own pipeline of new business. And, you know, the stronger the pipeline of new business, the more revenue you're likely to have. So a lot of these similar kinds of issues that you've just described.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And pipeline, as you were saying, that kind of reminded me of, you know, all the referral issues that can come up as well. You know, finding that community of people to actually start sending you referrals for your practice can also be challenging, because I think probably more so than other sectors that you've heard of and maybe have dealt with directly, mental health workers are terrible business people. I don't know why that is, but you know, we often get into the work to help people. And a lot of times I think people in mental health feel guilty for charging for services because, well, I want to help people and someone's in pain. And so, of course, I want to give them the relief that they're looking for. Unfortunately, that doesn't translate very well to keeping a business up and running. So I think there's some internal conflict that happens there. And so better to, again, take those awful pieces of the corporate life and just get mad about them and not really dive into some sort of private practice, then kind of try and work through that discomfort of charging people for a great mental health care service.
Yeah. And honestly, Gregory, the same kind of internal conflict happens with consultants. I think it happens less so when their clients are primarily corporate. Mm-hmm. I think it happens more so when the clients are either individuals or small businesses, because the small business buying decision is often much more similar to a business to consumer buying decision than a business to business buying decision, where if I run a small business and I'm making a decision between investing in some consulting or coaching versus using the money perhaps for a nicer vacation for my family, which, you know, in a corporate budget, you're not looking at the same kind of trade-offs.
That's absolutely true. And as you're talking about consultancy, I just think about, it's crazy that most people, I imagine most of the consultants that you've heard of or other businesses, certainly people I've come across in mental health, we're so willing to pay other people what they're worth. Like, oh, yeah, of course they're worth that. But then when it comes to charging the same for what we do, it's just like that guilt, right, of doing so. And it's something that I hope people will start to change. I know I had to go through it myself. I had to work through it. But it's really rewarding to get to the other side.
Yeah. Do you have any tips on establishing a stronger mindset when it comes to charging what you're worth?
I think it's exactly what I said, that recognizing that it's something that's actually happening. I often say this when I do groups in particular, for those that are familiar with the 12-step program, you'll know, for any listeners that aren't, it's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, that whole idea. And so you have to work these 12 steps to live the life that you're looking for, which is typically sobriety. And step one of 12 is simply this, recognizing that there is a problem. Now, of course, there's 11 more steps after that. we got to do more than just that. But I can't change that internal conflict if I'm ignoring it or just don't even know that it's happening. And so if I'm recognizing that I'm valuing other people and their services, but I'm discounting my own, well, taking some time to kind of look into why that is, at least for me, that's been tremendously helpful.
Fair enough. What do you see as some of the other challenges for professionals making this transition from corporate? And I'm using the term corporate very broadly. It means, you know, working for somebody else in somebody else's structure. Again, it could be government. It could be a large public or private enterprise. It could be a small business. It could be a nonprofit. But essentially, you're leaving somebody else's structure and creating your own. What do you see as some of the major hurdles?
I think one of the major hurdles is just a knowledge gap. I have found at least that despite working for multiple private practices in my life, there are just some things that I wasn't fully thinking about or prepared for, particularly on the marketing side of things and how to bring more people into the practice to show that, you know, hey, I'm actually a great therapist and can help you get that life that you envision for yourself. Because in the past, all that was just taken care of for me. Or in the case of corporate, in particular, like the VA, I mean, people are going to come to me. I don't have to think about that kind of thing. So recognizing how marketing might work, and then also thinking about how I can apply skills that I already have in a unique way that you really don't see in mental health as much, I think can be useful. So as an example, I remember trying to get set up as a student when I was in school with a particular practice. And there was such a fear from this clinician of having any sort of public facing anything. So whether that be my podcast as an example or having a written book, this particular provider was just did not want any of that, just wanted to keep to themselves completely. Well, you kind of have to put yourself out there if you're working on your own, because people need to know who you are and you need to actually be able to bring people into your business. I think there's a lot of that in mental health. And while it's starting to change, it's still kind of there. Hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Along those lines, how, you know, particularly when it comes to marketing, how can you differentiate yourself from other kinds of providers who are not part of the licensed mental health care system? Because there are people who are really good at marketing and sales who don't have the kind of background, training, expertise, and credentials that you have, who put a lot of stuff out there, especially online, and aren't afraid to charge high prices for their offers, who claim to solve the same kinds of problems that people in your field solve.
Yeah, they claim. I don't know how successful they are, but
I was choosing those. All right, I was choosing those words very carefully.
I noticed. Yeah, that's great. I think one of the things that's been helpful is just getting in on the conversation. So whether that be on social media or putting quick videos out there, that's been useful. Another thing, and I think this is just ingrained in a lot of providers because of how we go to school. We go to school to try to get in, and we have to talk about all our accomplishments and all the great things that we do. And in particular, getting your doctorate, your final year is just a year of work experience. They call it an internship, a doctoral internship. It's not like a free thing that you would think of typically. It's actually a very intense training year. And I think after that, the habit still remains of, I have to keep telling people I'm so great at doing all the things. But one thing that, some advice that I got, which was very helpful and something that I have put on my website, I just pick a few specialties. I do more than just the specialties on my website, but I list a few, which is depression, anxiety, PTSD treatment, executive stress. So all those high achievers working in those high stress jobs, how do we manage the stress? And then veterans issues. And that's it. I, of course, do communication work and can help people navigate tough relationships, life transitions, all of that. But focusing on those particular pieces in what I do helps get that image of someone who's more specialized. So I've found that that kind of gives me more authority in those areas, which hopefully drowns out the signals of those who just kind of throw themselves out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. So thank you for sharing that. I want to go back to issues we were talking about before around knowledge and like what it is you need to know and what you may realize you don't know when you move into your own business. How have you found community collaboration and peer support to be really beneficial to your own growth in your business?
I think you understate it when you say really beneficial. It is a necessity. It is so, so helpful and so important. And I know you do this with your community on Smashing the Plateau, which is also just so much value there. But I found that people that I have connected with, networked with over the years and continue to keep up with, you know, some people think that's kind of a waste of time, but not only are they people who understand what I'm going through, they are also people who can get me the information that I need in ways that I didn't think I'd get it. So as an example, through somebody that I went to school with, she gave me the name of an incredibly talented psychologist who's already doing what I'm doing. He was already established. And so I spent an hour, he was very generous with his time. He gave me an hour of his time to talk about things that I could do to help improve my practice. And that hour with him was more valuable than I'd say 2-3 months of just Googling and trying to find information out there and piece it together myself, because he understood what I wanted and he was able to get it to me because he had the experience in the same area. So community is so important. And if you are starting your own business, you definitely need to find some place to go, some people to be with so that you can bounce ideas off them and gain that knowledge that, again, you might gain naturally on your own, but it's going to take you a lot longer.
Yeah. One of the ways one of our community members describes it is the value of feedback from real humans. Which, you know, in today's AI obsessed world, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What do you mean? ChatGPT is not going to give you the answer that you want sometimes, but it's probably not going to be that quality.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Gregory, before we close out, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share?
I would just say that for those out there who are maybe thinking about some sort of mental health journey, if you are someone who's interested in actually starting your own practice, just remember, you can actually just do things and you can actually just start your practice. And if you do that, you might find you'll be happier and live a better quality life than you thought. And for those interested in actually doing some sort of mental health work, you know, I encourage you, maybe take a moment and reach out, whether it's to me or to somebody else. But it's something that's going to help you improve the quality of your life. And I hope that even just hearing me talk today gives you maybe a little bit of a push to do that.
Thanks for sharing that. And speaking of reaching out, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed, get in touch with you or maybe access any resources that you have available, mm-hmm. Where's the best place to go?
Best place is my practice website, which is royaloasispi.com for Psychotherapy Institute. And won't make people type out the whole thing, you know. And then you can also find me on Twitter/X at Dr. GT Obert. But my website is really going to be the place where I have all the resources. So you can listen to my podcast there. And I just launched a store, which is going to have more resources put up there as well. So keep an eye on it. And I hope to see you there soon. You can also reach out to me through that website as well.
Great. Gregory, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Share your insights and a little bit about your story. My guest today has been clinical psychologist and founder and CEO of Royal Oasis Psychotherapy Institute, Dr. Gregory T. Obert. Thank you, Gregory, for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.